This is the Citizen of Heaven podcast number 240, Books, Part 3. I'm Hal Hammonds, Citizen of Heaven, your embedded correspondent in Satan's world. Thanks for listening, sharing, subscribing, and coming back one more time. We wrap up with a game of Gilligan's Island, five books that you would take with you on an indefinite vacation from everything. In hindsight, it's just as well I didn't include my list. Elizabeth Nallen and Edwin Crozier had plenty of ideas of their own, and I couldn't make myself cut any of it. Check the show notes for the books mentioned here and for links to their respective podcasts. And keep your ears peeled. I'll be posting my own list soon. Instead of shoehorning a game into this segment, I've decided to make my own. It's called Gilligan's Island, and here's how it works. You're going to spend an indefinite period of time isolated from everything and everyone. You can take five books with you, other than the Bible. And for reasons I can't get into now, the books can't be about building boats, satellite dishes, or luxury getaway resorts. Which ones do you choose?
So, my first one, I'd say Gone with the Wind, because it's the courage to be more when I am clearly not enough.
How is it that?
Well, Scarlett was a rotten teenager that saved her whole family. And, and even still in her selfishness for the wrong reason over and over again. But there was something there that still knew, well, I got to take them with me. I've got to feed them too. You know, she had sat on the porch and fanned herself until she shot a Yankee in her front room.
All right.
Love that.
So which one do I want to put first? I know this is going to be surprising. I have a single volume set of The Lord of the Rings.
I thought about that. Do you get to count if it's a series, if it's in one hardback section?
I am kicking myself, literally. I was, before this conversation, I forgot I was going to do this. I was going to write with Sharpie on my yellow pad here. I was going to write, does L-O-T-R count as one book? Because Edwin's going to say that. He's going to bring up Lord of the Rings. I just know he will.
Well, of course, of course. And I do have a single volume set of it. So if that gets to count, I can't not take that one. I can't not take that one if you let me take it. I will say, though, surprisingly, so that has pretty consistently now for 30, let's not even consider how long it's been, my favorite set of books. And there was a period of time I was reading it every year. It's been a while since I've read it. I think it's been 3 years since I read it again. But I think there's just so much in it about courage. There's so much in it about relationship and working together. There's so much in it about sacrifice. There's so much in it about putting others first before self. There are just so many things. I get that there are a lot of people that when they read it, all they can see is walking and weird, boring songs. Okay, fine. But for me, it's just all of those things. I will tell you, though, if we were going to say, no, that's three books, you can't take all three, that'd take up too much. I've actually read a book recently that almost has rivaled it as far as how much I've liked it. And now I'm talking about fantasy and entertainment book that I got some stuff out of. So if we're going to say, no, that's three books, you can't take it, then I would replace, I just read, and maybe it just hit me at just the right spot. And maybe it's because I've read several of his books lately. And so I was able to see some things that I wouldn't have seen. And so I'm kind of leery because I don't know if anybody's going to take it. It's like, oh, I've got to read this. And they're like, it wasn't all that great. But there's a book by Brandon Sanderson that just came out a couple months ago called Tress of the Emerald Sea. And it's one of these things that he did during COVID where he just wrote some extra books. It was fun. It was delightful. I mean, when I got done, I was like, I loved that. I felt really good about reading this. There were just little statements that were made throughout the book that were like, oh, that is a fantastic life lesson. You know, the one drawback, there was a little bit of the thing that bugs the daylights out of me of just, hey, you know, you go be you. I'm worried about where that's leading our culture, too much emphasis on that. But there was just a tiny bit of that, but really it was overshadowed by this young lady's sacrifice and her work and her stick-to-itiveness and her just, you know, it was just so I guess I'm going to put those two. If you let me take the three, obviously I can't. Lord of the Rings just wins hands down every time. But if you're like, no, that's three books, you can't take it. Well, I don't want to use up three of my books with that. So it would be Tress of the Emerald Sea.
So leave it to Edwin to squeeze not three, but four books.
I was going to say, you're this slot. Episode's Amanda.
I'm a cheater.
I would say, though, on with regard to both of these choices, I think one of the main priorities that I would have in this kind of list, I want to read books that will help me not resent being on a desert island.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. You know, I want to read something that will build up my character and how I impact other people obviously is irrelevant. I'm just working on me right now. And probably there's a lot of work that needs to be done. So I think that would be a really valuable ingredient in the list that you'd put together.
Well, so this first one for me, I listed one that was going to be entertaining, that was going to be encouraging, that I was going to have fun reading, that I felt like I could probably go back and read again and again and still be as excited and enjoy it, but yet still gain something from it.
Yeah, so same.
That was why that hits the top of the list.
And if it's long, so much the better.
Right, we got a lot of time. Apparently.
Which makes Lord of the Rings the single volume set a little bit higher than Tress. That one's shorter.
Okay, so my next one, I said Hannah Coulter, which is a Wendell Berry book. And I think it's largely about grief. It's about missing what has gone by. You enjoyed it. It was wonderful. But it is passing or has gone. And if I'm on a desert island, I'm going to be feeling some of those things. Hannah Coulter is a book that illustrates that there's beauty in those feelings. And those feelings are important. You can't cover them up. They make you better for feeling them. So if I'm on a desert island, I'm probably missing like coffee and my kids and I will have some grief. Coffee. And I think Hannah Coulter might help me in those moments.
So I'm going to move now away from the fiction books and into the nonfiction stuff that I read more of. One of the things I often look back on is I need to read more of the fiction stuff because you learn the things from it. But these are the ones that are going to, I think I want to take with me. And this one, it's a little book by a guy named Ole Hallisby, and it's just called Prayer. It's a fantastic little book about what prayer is, how prayer works, faith in prayer, our helplessness and why we need prayer and how that produces hope. And it just, I think on my desert island, I'm going to need a constant reminder. I need to be spending some time in prayer. And I thought, I think I want to take that one with me.
Excellent.
I like it.
There's a series of sermons that I cited on my top 10 books I've read so far this year, back in May. That's collected under the general title of the character of Jesus, but the same kind of thing. I need to be God's kind of person. I need to find a way to grow myself in every aspect. And, you know, along the same lines of prayer, if I could find extra time in every day, really, to devote myself to character building.
Okay. My next one is A Call of the Wild, because if I'm out there on my own, I would like to retain my humanity. And I think that's what that book is about. Even though it's a book about a dog that kind of becomes a wolf, I would like to remain woman, but mankind, made in his image, because I know that's what I am. That is truth. I need to hold on to that truth. I need to remember what separates me, even though I might be interacting with the wild a lot closer than I ever have before. I love that book so much. So I think it feels like an applicable spot for it too, of like, hey, you might need to do some things to survive, but you have to remember who you're created to be.
I love
that. That is one of those books that I thought, oh, I need to read that. I have yet to read that.
It's so short.
That might be a poke in the right direction to
get an audiobook and clean out your garage and you'll knock out two good things.
Okay.
My brother was obsessed with Call of the Wild and The Hobbit, also in Lord of the Rings, growing up. And so I instinctively avoided it because that's the way brothers are.
Yeah. So let me just point out, as we're going through this, I will say that these five books are not necessarily, like, if you had said, what five books do you think everybody needs to read? it wouldn't be this list necessarily.
No.
Because there were actually some books that would be on that list that I'm like, yeah, but this is about relationship with other people and I'm on a desert island.
Don't need it.
top book that I recommend to people is one by Ken Sandy named The Peacemaker. And the reason that just came to my mind is because you talked about, not reading it just because your brother recommended it. And I have a really good close friend who is practically a brother who will not read The Peacemaker because I can't stop talking about it.
Are we going to try to think about it? We want to avoid Terry Francis's name here?
I was not going to mention his name, but yeah, that's exactly it. And so that's like, if you were asking what book would you most recommend, but I wouldn't take it on the desert island because I'm by myself.
Right.
Yeah. So. All right. So book three that I would take on the desert island. You know, I said getting away from fiction. I guess this one is fiction. The Great Divorce by C.S. Lewis. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I want to take that one. So, I mean, it's fiction. It's him telling a dream. But it's not a novel. It's very specifically an allegory or a parable or a picture specifically trying to get you to spiritual points. The reason why is because, man, if I'm stuck on a desert island, I want to remember that I'm not going to be on the desert island forever. I got somewhere I'm going.
Yeah.
And for me, that book, The Great Divorce, as Lewis walked through that dream, as weird as it is my favorite C.S. Lewis book. But I always tell people, don't make it the first one of his you read, because it's weird. If it's the first one you read, you'll think C.S. Lewis is just weird. But if you've got some experience with Lewis, I think this is a good one to read. It is, like I said, it is my favorite of his because it just pictures people deciding whether or not they want to go be with God in eternity, be in heaven, or they want to go be in hell. And just the very notion that people are going to end up actually in the place they choose. And as he walks through that story, I'm like, oh, this is so realistic how people are choosing to turn away from God. And actually deciding I'd rather not be in heaven forever because or somebody choosing, no, I want God more than anything else. And so I am going to pursue it. And I would want that memory. And I would want to be looking forward to the fact that something else is coming and I need to be reminded of it.
I read The Great Divorce this year and it is weird. Elizabeth, I don't know if you've read it or not. It is weird. It's one of those things. I can read this in a couple of hours. I'll be done. I might as well just tough it out. And about halfway through, you start to get it. It's, okay. Yeah. Now it's starting to come together. It's a very, very interesting read. I was just thinking, actually, if there is one fiction book that I would take, it might be The Count of Monte Cristo. Mm. Because it clicks all the – I've only read it once. I've seen the movie several times, and I love the movie, and I love the book for different reasons. But I've only read it once, so there's not a lot of repetition. It's nice and long. And the whole – it's a little on the nose. You know, being, you know, locked in prison for 14 years while you're on a desert island reading this story about this fellow. But the idea of it feels like the world is all against me and woe is me. And I can just sit here and wallow, or I can make something out of myself and learn something about myself. The whole battling of the inner natures. What kind of person am I going to be at the end of this? I think it's just a terrific, terrific read.
Okay, my next one is Swiss Family Robinson, because while I know it'll make me miss my family and wish that I had some boys there to help me build my treehouse, it will give me a lot of how-tos about survival. And I love – the thing I loved about that book, and maybe it was even a fault of the book, is they just immediately started – setting up camp. Like there was never a question they were going to be saved, it did seem like. They just were like, well, we're here now, so we're going to work while we're here. And I think they made peace with the fact that they were on a desert island immediately. And I'm not sure that's what I would do. So that might be a good reminder, but there also is a lot of, oh yeah, maybe this is how I could build me a well.
Do you think so? I haven't read the book. Of course, I've watched two different versions of the story, movie-wise. Is the issue of they immediately were settled with that? Is that an issue of, okay, the book, this is a mistake in the book? Or
oh, that's what I'm saying. Just, it really could be a mistake in the book to just go right at it. But I mean, they start with let's immediately find shelter, but it just goes from there. And they start immediately saving, like, I don't know how long we're going to be here, so let's triage this. And, you know, that'd be a mistake to think, well, I'm hungry and I'm used to eating three meals a day and this is here. And there is a lot of try and fail in the book of houses that collapse in, or wild animals get into our few birds that we domesticated or are trying to get eggs. And there's a lot of try and try again and try again and try again, which I would assume I wouldn't be an awesome survivalist right away.
I just, the reason why I ask if you think that's it, or was it just the author saying, well, here's the story I want to tell, so I jumped to that part? Or is it even an issue that we've, you know, talking about cultural shift, we are so used to, well, I know the planes are flying, they're looking for us. I know. So whereas in their culture, it was like, okay, this has happened and we're done. And there's no sense waiting on it.
I joked about it being a mistake, but I actually do think it says a lot about their culture, because one, people were traveling by ship and ships were wrecking. That was a thing. Mm-hmm. And so for us, we would just think, well, that doesn't happen, or surely they'll find me and I'll be on the news and I'll get a book deal. But I also think that that culture was not too far removed from survivalist living anyway. Yeah. And you just spent your days working one way or the other. And the dad is a preacher, so he's given a lot of good lessons to his family about God throughout it. They begin every day, even before they go find breakfast, at the very beginning, you know, when it's still triage moment, with a Thanksgiving that we're alive, and they have a short time together where they stop and they thank God for where they are, and they ask him to help them through the day. I love that. They're immediately, we're here, but it's, they turn at each point. They say thank you to God. They ask him to continue to help them and to humble them and to teach them. And you could talk a lot about the lessons in that book, I really think. I read it with Nate, went to school throughout the book.
Excellent. And since they did not build a satellite dish or out in the middle of nowhere resort, that does fit the category. So well
done. Although you've said enough about it that I think Trina's going to have to sit down and read it with me.
Oh, y'all need to read it together. You'll love it. It's really funny too.
All right. Number four. Okay. So I'm a little leery sharing this, but I honestly thought, well, if I were on a desert island, I think one of the things I want to make sure is that I keep my mind sharp, that I keep doing something that challenges me, that again, keeps me growing, and something that I have been wanting to do for some time, because of my role as a preacher and just wanting to know more about the Bible. One of the things I've wanted to do is learn Hebrew. And it's one of those things that I've actually started a couple of different times, and then it ends up, because of time and because of all that stuff, I end up letting it slide. And so I honestly said, you know what? If I were on a desert island, I might have time.
Maybe. And so,
maybe, I got to dig this well all day long.
Yeah.
So I might not. But honestly, I thought I need something to keep my mind sharp. And at present, this is the thing I'm kind of – so I actually – this book that I've got that I – try to go through to help learn that. It's Basics of Biblical Hebrew or something like that by a guy named Futato. I said, you know what? I think I'd want to take that with me to try to maintain that mental sharpness and just learn something.
I love that. I actually thought about putting Atomic Habits on the list for very similar reasons there. You know, it's like, I don't think I am inclined toward this kind of lifestyle. I like my couch. I like satellite TV. I like my leisure moments, and adapting to that kind of thing is going to require some character development, some good habits. And everybody in the world was telling me to read Atomic Habits this year, and I finally broke down and did. And it's good. It's just like everybody said it was. It's really, really good.
Okay, my last one is a book of Robert Frost poetry. Hopefully it would be a big compilation of all of his, because he's my favorite poet. And I think what I like about him is that he looks at nature and he sees more. And he looks at a decaying barn and he sees a story. And I have a big imagination. So I think I would enjoy that exercise of then, you know, reading this and then looking out at my desert island. And then thinking, wonder if people ever lived here. Wonder whose bones are lying below this ground that I never knew. Wonder if they had the same story as me. Look at that tree. Isn't it amazing?
That actually almost made my list.
Are you a Robert Frost fan?
Yeah. But it sounds like you've probably even read more than I have some of the things that you're thinking. I love Robert Frost. And that almost, I was like, you know what? I'd like to read more. I'd like to take this big old compilation of his poems with me, because also that's one of those things. It's not like, well, I got to read the whole thing. It's, you know, let's look at this
snippets.
One. Here's this one today and this one tomorrow. Oh, and I can come back. And of course, one of the great things about poetry is because of the imagery, and even more than everything we said in the previous segments about coming back as a different person, as you've grown, how what you read hits you differently and you get more out of it or different out of it. Poetry, I think, is even more that way.
Yeah.
Just because it is purposefully evocative on emotion and getting you involved in whatever it is that he is trying to picture for you.
Yeah.
And it just gets with poetry, good poetry, it gets deeper and deeper every time. So that actually, we almost end up having that on there as well.
High five.
Good job.
Reading Proverbs kind of works the same way. I've noticed that.
You said
over
not
the
Bible
years.
Though.
I said not the Bible, but it's a similar reading style. You know, it's there's some vagary about exactly what some of these proverbs, maybe a lot of the proverbs, are meaning. And it's entirely possible that in your 20s, it might mean one thing, and in your 40s, it might mean something else. And that's more about where your life is rather than what the Bible is saying at any given moment.
But for sure.
That's the way poetry works, you know, and you read it slowly and deliberately, and you come back in 6 months and you read it again. And it's kind of a new experience. Reading is like that in general, I think, but especially reading poetry, I think.
Mm-hmm. Agree.
And as way leads on to way on that desert island, you realize I'm stuck here. I'm never getting back to the fork in the road.
If I could have gone, Lee.
Yeah.
So. Don't get on that boat.
Yeah.
Or plane.
Yeah. All right. Number five for me is actually Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning. And the reason is that is one of those books that I have said for 20 years, I have got to read that book, and I've never read it.
Same.
And secondly, nobody's seeing, but right here to my right, I have this shelf of books that are like, okay, read next. And it's on my shelf of read next. And thirdly, I'm a part of a little group of guys that gets together once a month, every other month or so. And that's actually the book we're supposed to be reading for next month. And so it's brought itself up. And what I realized, as much as I thought about this and was going through all my favorite books, and there's, you know, I mean, I was like, oh, I want to take Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Oh, I want to take all 3 of Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit. Can I get that one? And do I have a single volume set that includes that one in there too? And there was a realization that I might want to take something I've never read before. Get something new. And this is one that has come highly recommended to me by lots of people. So I think I'm probably safe taking it. And I know that this is a story from a fellow that was in a concentration camp and what he was dealing with, that I think, okay, so there's probably going to even be some good overlap as I'm stuck on this desert island. So I thought, you know what? All these books that I've been so used to and I've read and I would like to read over and over again, let's take one that's new. And that's the one that made the list.
It's interesting you should say that, because I when I was trying to put a list together along the same lines, one of the biggest priorities is it needs to be a book that I've read before, because I'd hate to bring something and not like it. And then I've wasted one of my
20% of my book.
But if there was one book that I hadn't read that I thought I might bring, I put down The Gulag Archipelago for very similar reasons. Mom and Dad had it on their shelf. They're trying to get rid of some books. I ought to read that. One of these days I will read that. Mm-hmm. And so I took it, and it's sitting right over there on my shelf. And one of these days I'll pick it up, you know, and maybe something with a reputation like that, something with some moral value to it. I'll be a better person if I read it. What better time than on a desert island?
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, want to learn what's wrong with all those communists while you're on that desert island.
There you go. That's why I took War and Peace on my vacation. I'm going to sit in the airport for 2 hours on an airplane for another hour. Why not read something long?
Yeah.
That's our five. Any thoughts in general about what we're looking for in a book, and closing thoughts, comments?
Well, I think one day I read a book and it's pure entertainment. And then the next day I read a book and I'm feeling raw about a certain subject and it's medicine there. The next day I read a book and I'm mad at somebody else and it's either validating or helping me know what to do about it. And that might be the same book every day too. So I think having something for your for your brain to continue to keep us sharp, to continue to grow, to sharpen us. For me, there's just no better way than a story.
Edwin mentioned Lord of the Rings, something he reads repeatedly. Elizabeth, do you have a book that you read every year?
I have never reread, except for like a few that I read with my kids, until this year. And I put on my list to reread a few classics. I always have just been, what's the next thing? What's the next thing? And we actually did an episode on rereads. So as a little bit of homework, I reread Great Expectations, A Call of the Wild, and then talked about Where the Red Fern Grows, which I have read with each of my boys. And it was different for me every time, even a little silly book like that, you know. So now I'm kind of sold on the idea, but I do still have the quest for the next book. So,
yeah.
If I'm on a deserted island, I would probably do some rereading, though.
Yeah.
I'd probably be just fine with it.
For me, of course, the desert island thing might make it a little different. But as I pointed out earlier, I forget so much. And even like these favorite books. Actually, because of y'all's podcast, Elizabeth, I went through and started on Goodreads trying to track, okay, which books have I read? And in my memory, because I wanted to get them all down, and I don't think I've gotten all the books I've read in my whole life down on that list. But as I was going through them, and I was like, I remember really liking this one. I don't remember anything that happened in it. I know I read it, but I don't remember any of that. So yeah. Maybe I should go read that again. I'm like, wow, but there's all these other books I haven't read. I need to go read those. Talking about reading, Hal, of course, if you're on a desert island, you're not going to have TV. So reading is going to be the thing. And the other thing that makes reading good on the desert island is you're by yourself. So it's not like you have other people to tell you stories that they know that you can hear. So you're, you know, hey, I want these books and parchments because I'm stuck here by myself. And now I can still have communication in some way. But just talking about reading and so reading and then also hearing stories as opposed to watching movies and TV. And I watch too much movie and TV. I'm not telling people they can't watch that, but the experience. Here's what's good about the written word, but this is also good about the spoken story. And that is when it comes to us mentally, this is some kind of spectrum that I heard about years and years and years ago. And I can't remember what the technical definitions were for it, but it talked about having a cold experience and a hot experience. And it was talking about your mind, your psychology, your emotion, and especially with your imagination and creativity. The hot experience is one where your thinking and your imagination has to be triggered more. The cold experience is where your imagination does not have to be triggered. And this is where books and hearing stories surpasses just watching story. We in our culture today have a lot of shared experience with movies and TV, and I'm not saying that that's all bad, but I think we do need to understand that the hot experiences where I have actually had to use my mind and my mind has to imagine it and create the picture and create the world and create and think about it, that is something that is very beneficial for us. So I want to make sure, go ahead and have your pure entertainment time where you shut your imagination down and you're just watching it and that's okay. You're vegging out. There are books about that and some of the negative aspects of that, but I don't want to say that it's all bad. But listen, read or hear stories and books because it forces you to use your mind in a creative way, in an imaginative way that keeps that alive longer and better. I think that's really important for us. That's something that I know I try to convince my kids because I want them to be readers for that very reason. And we've had, different success with different kids on that.
Yeah, of course. And they're not all done yet either. None of us.
No.
I feel bad when people say they're not readers. I mean, different strokes for different folks. That's fine, whatever. But like you're saying, Edwin, this is such a journey into your own mind and into the world. You're going inward and outward at the same time. It's a really exciting experience. And it is mimicked to a certain degree with film and television, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But it is when you have to fill in the blanks yourself and you have to draw the pictures yourself, I can't help thinking that is good exercise for the mind. And one of these days I'm going to need my mind for something. So it better be exercise.
Marita, my wife, says that if somebody says they're not a reader, the problem is they just haven't found the right book.
Right book.
And when people find the right book, It's not just, oh, I want to read this book. But once they found the right one and realized, oh, this was a fun experience, all of a sudden it changes the relationship with reading. And, you know, part of the problem in the way our culture is, because we have the TVs and the movies, it's easier. It's immediate gratification. It's more entertaining. I don't have to work at it, which is why I got back to the thing earlier about, I think non-readers, most of the time, they think it's boring. I mean, my one daughter who is not a reader, and I mean like vocally and vociferously, will say, I'm not a reader. And we try, no, I mean, come on, you can be a reader, Trina. It'll be okay. She still hasn't found that right. But that's what she says. It's boring. Reading is boring. And we just try to point out to her, you just haven't found the right book yet. Keep reading. Find that right one, because it will change. It will change how you view every book after that. I did want to say one thing, and that is, I know why we said not the Bible. I do want to point out, look, on a desert island, I need my Bible too. Let's not forget that. I'm going to need that more than all these. And so if there was only one book, then that would be the one. And I need to read it. And I think one of the problems is, the reason why I want to just say that out loud and make sure that everybody who ever hears this discussion hears that, is because I do fear that there are a lot of people that say, okay, not the Bible, because that becomes that's our Bible class answer. We know the right Bible class answer right. Is if I'm going to be on a desert island, I need to have my Bible, but I'm not reading my Bible now, and I'm not going to read it on a desert island either. And what I want to say is, well, let's make sure with all of this that I am reading my Bible. And if I end up on a desert island, let's make sure I have my Bible with me, because that actually is going to be the one we need most.
In the hiding place, I was just so touched by the way she was willing to risk her life for that piece. They took a Bible and they tore it book by book and shared it, because it was too precious to keep to yourself, but it was also worth risking their life for, because they had to tuck it into different places when they'd go through shower or whatever else, but it was worth risking their life. And the way she goes into depth at several different points in the story is beautiful. That was more important than food. That was more important. They were so thankful for the fleas, because that meant that the Nazis weren't going to come check their bunk, and then they would have found their Bibles, or not Bibles, their pieces of Bible that they were passing and sharing.
Yeah.
It was their most prized possession.
In Fahrenheit 451, Ray Bradbury pictures a world that says we don't want books anymore. And, you know, as he gets through that book, it's just this real push for the books, the stories, they are so important. We need to have the record of them. Look, there are a ton of bad, there's so many books out there, and there are a ton of bad books. But there are good books. And I mean, even on here, multiple books have been mentioned. It's like, oh yeah, I got to read that one too. That's one I've always said I'm going to read, and I haven't read it yet. There are just so many of those. The Hiding Place is one of them. Man, Marita loves that. She's like, yeah, you got to read this. And I'm like, I know. I'll get there. And so I'm writing it down on the list, James. I'm just, and now in my head, I'm thinking about those things. I don't love it, actually, the comparison between 1984 and A Brave New World. You know, the fear in 1984 is that somebody's going to come in and control everything and take all our books away. The fear in A Brave New World is that they're going to convince us, I don't need books. I just want to be entertained. I just want to have bread and circuses. And so many of those things when it comes to reading, just, I mean, it just comes out. These guys now for generations have realized the danger that will come and what it means to society if we become a bookless society.
Yeah.
Hmm. And I, you know, hey, I don't care if it's paper or digital, but if we become a bookless, storyless society,
also a thoughtless society,
yeah,
and probably selfish too, because it means you didn't care to hear anyone else's story.
Anything else before I hit the stop button?
I just want to encourage everybody: pick a book and read it. If you don't like it, find another one. You know what? Actually, that's probably a good thing also to say. Look, if you get 100 pages into a book and you're just not feeling it, don't feel like you're obligated to finish it.
It's not for you, or it's not the right time.
There are too many books out there and this is a problem I have. I'm like, oh, I've started the book. I have to finish it. And what that always ends up doing is stalling me out just on reading in general, because it's like, I don't want to pick it up. I don't feel like reading that one right now. So now instead I'm like, well, I'll go ahead and just play this game on my iPad instead of reading the book. You're 100 pages in and it's not your thing. just cut it loose and move on to the next one. But find something and read it.
Agree.
Thank you for listening to the Citizen of Heaven podcast. Please rate, review, and share so others can access this content. I encourage you also to join the Heaven Citizens Facebook group. There you will find links to related materials, conversation starters, poll questions, and the occasional special announcement. Also, check out the Hal Hammons channel on YouTube for even more content. Until next time, be strong and courageous, fight the good fight of faith, and do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is Hal Hammons, Citizen of Heaven, signing off.